For those who are visiting, we are in the middle of our spiritual campaign this year, which is called 40 Days in the Word. We're going through, we're learning how to meditate and get into God's Word and understand God's Word. And last week I started talking about the term illumination, how we need light shone in God's Word. We need God to speak to us through His Word, that the Word is not only a written Word from hundreds of years ago, it's a living word that speaks to us today. And so I started last week talking about how illumination should work in our lives. It gives meaning. It's like having the author sitting beside you, because God sends His Holy Spirit. Jesus said that when He left the world, the Holy Spirit would come. So the Holy Spirit is with us each and every day. So as we sit and we read the Bible each day, we need to ask God to explain what it is that we want to what He wants us to understand in that word for today. And so that's called illumination, or that's shining a light on it, what God wants me to read. So it's like sitting there with the author, actually saying, this is what this means for you today. And last week I promised you that I would give you some examples from the Bible, stories from the Bible where God had shone the light on, opened the people's eyes to see and understand what He's trying to say to them through His word. And so this morning I want to give you some examples, and then I want to try and let you see how that applies to your life, or how that would apply to certain circumstances in your life today. And so I've got, depending on time, three or four stories to tell you. The first one I want to tell you about is I want to think in a practical sense, because this has got to apply to your life today. So God shines His, God opens His word up, so that it will deal with solutions to situations in your life. This is not an ancient thing that just airy-fairy for a Sunday morning. This is something you need to take out into the world, and you need to be able to use. And each day as you read your Bible, God should be giving you a word that will help you that day. That's what should be happening. So the story I want to, the first situation I want to think about is, how do I see solutions to the problems I have in life? Because we all have problems of different ways and different kinds, and they change all the time. There hardly seems to be a week go by where you don't have another situation. What do I do in this situation? And sometimes we look to get the answers in all sorts of different ways, and yet we seldom go and say to God, what is it You want me to do here? Or will You show me? And He will take you into His word and show you an answer. And the story I want to talk about this morning, or the first story I want to talk about, is the story of Sarah and Abraham and Hagar and their sons Isaac and Ishmael. Now, you know the story. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of a great nation. And him and Sarah would be the parents of a child that would be grow into a great nation. And of course, God told Abraham and Sarah this, and then nothing happened. Nothing happened. They waited and they waited and they waited, and they got older and older and older. And so Abraham and Sarah thought, what's going on here? We don't know what to do. So Sarah came up with this great idea that she said to Abraham, Abraham, you go and have a son or a child with my servant girl Hagar, and that will solve the problem. And that way you will have a child, because we're getting too old. We can't manage this anymore. You go and do that. So that's exactly what Abraham does. Hagar has a wee boy and calls him Ishmael. Right. Now, what we need to remember in this situation is, this was Sarah's idea. This was not God's idea. And whenever we interfere, or whenever we think we know better than God, and we've got a solution that is better than God, or we don't wait in God, it causes problems. It causes issues in our life when we take things into our own hand. And actually, the issue that's caused by this plan is that Ishmael, as with all children, God loves this child, and God promises Abraham that this child will be the father of a great nation, but not the nation that God had chosen through Abraham. And so eventually, as we know, Abraham and Sarah had a child. And this child was a miracle child, because they were far too old to have children. There's no way they could have children. And so eventually they have another child. But God promises that Ishmael will be the father of a great nation as well. But here's where the problem is. Whenever human beings take disobey God, which is what? Abraham and Sarah did. There is consequences to it. There's consequences to it. And Ishmael is actually the father of the Arab world today. He's the father in the same way as Isaac is the father to the Christian world. And the consequences of that disobedience of Sarah and Abraham are still being felt today, with the tension between Christian and Arab. And it was God disobeying. It was Abraham and Sarah disobeying God. Because that was Sarah's idea. It wasn't God's idea. But anyway, that's a by the way. That's not really why I was wanting to talk about this story. That's what happens. So, when Hagar has the wee boy, Sarah's jealous. Right, because she doesn't have a child yet. And Abraham's quite chuffed because he's a dad. It's great being a dad. The wee boy's brilliant and all the rest of it. And so Sarah doesn't like this. So she says to Hagar, get out of here. She tells Abraham, I don't like this. So Abraham sends Hagar away, because you're going to have to leave. So they get a bag of water, off they go into the desert, and they're feeling hopeless. She doesn't know what to do, because they're away there in the middle of nowhere, they've no food, they've run out of water, they don't know what to do, and she leaves the boy, because she can't bear to see him die, and she goes off. And God then says to her, she prays to God, and God says to her this, he says, in Genesis chapter 21, verse 19, she prays to God, and then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went, and she filled the skin with water, and gave the boy a drink. Now, the story, they survived, and they went on, and as I say, Ishmael became the father of all the Arab nations. Here's the point of this story, and how it relates to you today. She had the solution right in front of her. The well of water was right in front of her. But she couldn't see it until God opened her eyes. Illuminated her mind. Helped her to see from a different perspective. Now, she hadn't asked God until that moment. And I don't know what issue you've got in your life or what problem you're going through right now, but you might be going, I don't see a way around this. It's not that simple. I can't see a solution. It's one dead end after another. You need to have your mind illuminated by God. You need God to open your mind. You need the Holy Spirit to come and to enlighten you, to open your spiritual eyes, because God has a solution for you, and it's in God's word. You won't see this solution on your own. You've tried and you don't see the solution, so you need to see it from God's point of view. And when God opens your eyes, you see the resources that he's given you, which are often right in front of you, and you've missed. But you don't see them till God opens your eyes. So you need to ask him to open your eyes. Go to him and ask him to show you the solution to the problem. Second story I want to tell you about is to do with barriers we find. Often when we're trying to do something, we seem to come to dead ends. We have a dream or we have a hope, and there's something stopping this progress. You have, maybe you're trying to get out of debt, maybe you've got some dream, maybe you keep bumping into what seems like an invisible wall every time you try to go down this. I'm trying my best, I'm doing my best, I've got all these ideas of how to solve this and get by this barrier. And you need to have your eyes opened so that God can show you what it is standing in your way. And the story I want to tell you this time from the Bible is the story of Balaam. You maybe know the story, you remember the story of Balaam and his donkey. Balaam is a prophet of God, but the opponents of Israel come to Balaam and they say to him, we want you to prophesy against the people of Israel. And naturally God's not too keen on this. So Balaam goes to meet these opponents of Israel and on his donkey. And on the way there, he has a problem with his donkey. And the donkey stops in the middle of the road, and Balaam's furious with the donkey and gets off and beats him, and then tries to go again, and he bangs his leg against the wall. He hurts his leg and he's furious. And the point there is that whenever we try to do something that God's stopping us trying to do, we will always hurt ourselves. We'll always hurt ourselves in one way or another. And he's angry and he tries again. And this time he moves further down the road. And this time the donkey goes off the road. And he starts to beat the donkey. And the donkey is very smart. And the donkey starts to talk to Balaam, which is not something that happens every day, but they're there. And eventually, in Numbers chapter 22, we see in verse 31, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. Again, it's this idea of opening our eyes, illumination, letting us see. God opens Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low, and fell face down. The Lord opened Balaam's eyes. He let him see. And he saw what the problem was. Because the donkey had seen the angel. That's why he'd stopped. The angel was going to destroy Balaam. The donkey stopped to stop that. The angel was saying, you're not going this way. He bowed. As soon as he saw the angel, he bowed down. Now here's to me, this point of the story is this. You have maybe plans in your life that aren't working out. You've tried to go this way, it's blocked. You've tried to go that way, it's blocked. And you're getting mad. You're getting mad with everybody around about you. You know, you're blaming your wife, you're blaming your husband, you're blaming the church, you're blaming the minister, you're beating the donkey, you're taking out your kids, whatever it is. You're talking behind people's backs and go on and on. You're mad at everybody because you can't see. You can't see what the problem is. But there's a problem. Somewhere there's a barrier. And God is blocking an issue in your life. He's trying to keep you. Probably he's trying to keep you from making a serious mistake. We think this is a good idea. And the same way Sarah thought her idea was a good idea. It wasn't. If you keep going down that road, God says, then it ain't good. And because I love you too much, I'm going to stop you going that road. And when our progress is blocked, you've got one of two choices. You can go off and you can get beat the donkey. Or you can say, God, what's going on here? Open my eyes. Tell me. Go to the scripture and see what he's saying and ask him to open your eyes. You can either get mad at everybody around you or ask God to show you what the problem is. Because you're not seeing what the barrier is. And maybe God's not letting you go down that road. Because he loves you too much. This has happened to me, and when I've asked God to open my eyes and show me, I have been astonished at my own stupidity at not seeing the very obvious in front of me. Ask God to open your eyes to see the barrier. And then you go, ah, right, that makes sense. Ask him. Third story I want to tell you about is, I love this story. It's how we feel under attack all the time. As individuals, we feel under attack in lots of different ways. You feel under attack from sometimes maybe people at your work. You maybe feel under, everybody feels under attack just now for germs because of this virusy thing. You know, and everybody feels under attack for being sick or whatever. Everybody feels under attack by maybe the economy or, I don't know, friends, family. Maybe you feel under attack by your own mind. You feel under attack by, and all these fears and these things are gone. They beat you up and you just feel constantly day after day, boom, 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 I'm being attacked all the time. And it can be very wearing. But God has promised to be on our side. God has promised to protect us. God has promised to give us tools and weapons for when we're under attack. There's a wonderful story in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's the story of Elisha. The Arameans, in the Old Testament, there's a nation called Aram, and the nation of Aram was always at war against Israel. They were always attacking them. And whenever the nation of Israel, at this stage in the story, whenever Aram was being attacked by the nation of Israel, God would tell Elisha what was going to happen. And so Elisha would tell the king, right, do this, do that, do such and such. They're going to attack for this angle, they're going to attack for that angle. And Israel would win the battle. And so the king of Aram began to think, there's something funny going on here. How come every time we plan a battle, Israel's waiting for us and they win? What's going on? Don't understand this. So he spoke to his officials and they said, I will see, the problem is there's this prophet Elisha. And Elisha knows everything. He knows what you think in your bedroom. He knows all your dreams. He knows everything. And so the king of Aram says, right, go and get, he sends his SAS or whatever it is, go and get Elisha, capture him. Because we've got to stop this man, because he's the one that's stopping us defeating the Israelites. And so they go to Dothan, which is a place in Israel where Elisha is with his servant. And they go to attack him. And of course they surround the city, and Elisha's servant comes into him and he says, we're doomed, we're doomed. He says, we're just surrounded everywhere by all of the Arameans. He says, we're going to be destroyed. We're going to be destroyed. And every side they're surrounded. And as he looked out, the armies was everywhere. And so Elisha, realizing what's happened here, he said, he prayed to God. In 2 Kings chapter 6, 17, Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes. There's that phrase again, open his eyes. Right? So he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And this was the angel army that his servant couldn't see from a physical point of view. And Elisha's going, God is watching over us. God is watching over us. He sent an army to watch over us. The servant couldn't see the angels until God opened his spiritual eyes. And he wasn't afraid anymore. And you lose your fear when you know God is near. Read the rest of the story and you'll see again and again, God's people win the battle. Elisha again wins the battle. Because God closes the eyes of the Arameans and the Israelites, and he leads them into the center of Samaria where they're destroyed. Here's the point. When you've got things that are attacking you and you're going to panic about it, you feel overwhelmed, sometimes you just need to say, God, open my eyes. Show me the resources you've put under my command to take care. There are angels all around looking after you. You can't see them, but they're there. Some folk go, oh, no, I'm not into that kind of thing. Fair enough, but the Bible has promised and God has promised that if you open your spiritual eyes, you will see the forces that God has sent to protect you. Ask him to show you. He will protect you. And when you know that is there, your fears go because you know that God has protected you. And God has protected you in so many ways. Ask him to open your eyes to see how he protects you each and every day. And the final story I want to tell you this morning is to affirm to you and remind you that God is with you each and every day at this moment. I believe he's here beside you right now, holding your hand. He's here beside me, walking with us each day. You don't physically see him, but spiritually he is here. I don't know what you're going through right now. You may feel lonely. You may feel you're by yourself. You may feel that you're fighting some of these battles of your own. You don't think that God is with you, that God's a million miles away. He's not interested in you. You're not important enough. A number of people have said, oh, God wouldn't do that for me. Oh, no, no, you wouldn't do that for me. That's a load of rubbish. He's promised to be with you each and every day. You're dead wrong to think that he's not beside you holding your hand. You just need to open your eyes and see him. And there's a wonderful story, a well-known story at the end of Luke's Gospel, in chapter 24, of the two friends, disciples of Jesus, walking on the road to Emmaus. Now that has been, the past 72 hours in their lives has been beyond anything they could ever have imagined. Jesus has been arrested, he's been whipped, he's been beaten, he's been tortured, he's been crucified, he died, they put him in a tomb. His disciples thought, well, they were devastated, they thought that was all over, the dream was finished, they thought this guy was the guy, the Messiah, all the rest of it, and now he's gone. And probably they're on the way to Emmaus because they're trying to get out of Jerusalem because they think that maybe all Jesus' disciples is going to be crucified as well. And so they're running for their lives, they're running away. And they're confused because also they've just started to hear that some of the people went, because this is the Easter day, some of the people went to the tomb in the morning, and there's this story that the body wasn't there. Some of the people are now reporting, some of the ladies have come back and said, we saw Jesus. And so they're all confused, right? They're confused as to what's going on. And so they're on the way down the road. They can't believe all the things that happened. They're talking among themselves. And somebody comes alongside them and starts walking with them on the road to Emmaus. And they tell him, the person says to them, what's the problem? And he says, don't you know? And they start to tell him what's happened. Of course, this person walking with them is Jesus. But they don't realize that. And they start to relate to Jesus all the events that have happened over the last couple of days and say, this is what's happened. And we're so confused at what's happened. They're worried, they're concerned, they just don't know what's going on. And they don't see that it's Jesus. And Jesus begins to explain to them, take them through the Old Testament scriptures, and explain to them what the Old Testament scriptures say about Jesus. Sometimes we think that the Old Testament is before Jesus, and the New Testament after Jesus. But the whole of the Old Testament is prophetic and giving as a shadow of Jesus. Jesus is there in so much of the Old Testament, and Jesus begins to explain, don't you understand what the words of the prophet meant? Don't you understand what was happening with Moses? Don't you understand why we have the law? Don't you understand? And it all was pointing to Jesus. So Jesus started to explain this to them. And so as they go along the road, you know the story, eventually they get to the place and they invite Jesus in. And they sit down and they invite him to the table. And in 24, it says, Luke 24:31, they invite him to the table. Jesus breaks the bread and the wine. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. Their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. There is something about having to ask God to open your eyes. That must have been a mind-blowing moment for them. It was Jesus. And we never saw it. This was guys who knew Jesus and they missed him. You can't miss Jesus. You can't miss him. You need to ask God to open your eyes. This is illumination. This is God shining the light and letting you see. And as soon as you recognize him, everything changes. It's just like, wow, bam. And there is Jesus with them, and they didn't recognize him. How often has Jesus been with you and you haven't recognized him? What difference it makes when you realize that Jesus has been there. It changes your whole outlook. It gives you courage you never knew you had. It gives you confidence you never knew you had. It gives you belief. It gives you faith. Jesus' disciples, who were cowering away in a wee room, suddenly, when their eyes were opened, could go out and change the world. You need to pray as we go through these 40 days in the Word. You need to pray that you ask God to open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, as we spoke about last week. I don't know what you might have, what challenges you're going through this year, or what you might have lost this year, last year. What relationships you're struggling with, griefs that you're hanging on to, misunderstandings about yourself or people around you. But whatever you're going through, you're not doing it alone. Jesus is with you. He wants you. He wants to be with you. That's why he's here. That's why he came. That's why he sent his Holy Spirit. This is the, as we spoke about last week, this is the batteries included. This is the power when Jesus, when God opens your eyes. Without this illumination, this is a book. This is just a book. But as soon as God opens our eyes, it becomes the greatest story ever. I see the solution to my problems. I see the solution. I see the barriers that are stopping things. I see what's attacking me, and I see the defenses that God's given me. And I see that actually Jesus is here beside me all the way. This isn't an airy-fairy thing for a Sunday morning. This isn't an airy-fairy thing for people who are really keen. This is what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to open our eyes each and every moment to see how he is working in our lives and what he is doing. It's a practical thing rooted in the everyday things of your life, as it was rooted in everyday things of the lives of those people that we've just spoken about. It's God at work beside us each day. When you open your eyes, you see the solution to your problem as Hagar did. You see what's standing in your way like Balaam did. You see the defense that God's given you as Elisha showed his servant. And then you see that Jesus is beside you as those two guys did on the road to Emmaus. If you've never asked God to open your eyes, ask him. Ask him to open your eyes. Let's pray. Lord, whatever is happening in our lives just now, we pray that you'll open our eyes. Open our eyes to see the solution to the problem or the barrier to our progress, or open our eyes to see those things you've given us to help us, to defend us, to uplift us. And Lord, most of all, open our eyes to see Jesus walking beside us.